welcome.
Blog Talk Radio.
Well, technical difficulty there. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Elder Advocate Radio, the podcast that will designed to inform folks who are taking care of loved ones at home who might be elderly, and provide support for caregivers as well. We also have a lot of great information about benefits. It's really designed to be an audio guide for caregivers and family members who are looking for guidance and information on particular topics, from caregiving to veterans benefits to Medicaid applications. And speaking of veterans benefits, we're going to be covering that today. And then I'd like to bring in my legal expert, Brandon Thompson. Brandon Thompson is from the Elder Care Firm, and they are a firm that is part of the National Academy of Elder Law Attorneys, NALA. And that's pretty much the gold standard for elder law in the area. And I'm bringing him on to talk about veterans benefits. Welcome, Brandon.
Thanks, Tony. Glad to be here.
All right. So a lot of folks who are struggling out there to pay for long-term care services, they might be going without some of your basic assistance around the house that you might need. Like, they might need help with some chore services. They might need help with bathing. They might need help with things more serious than that. So veterans benefits are, as you know, are a way to help folks pay for those things. But it's really kind of an underutilized and little-known service that people know they have access to if you've served our country. So, Brandon, I'd like to start and talk a little bit about what veterans benefits are, what they cover, and how to apply for them.
Sure. You're right about saying that there is some misinformation out there, and it is a little-known benefit. It's a great benefit as well. As a VA-certified attorney at the firm, we deal with this type of stuff pretty much every day, actually every day. And so right about now, as we speak, there's about 25 million veterans here in the U.S. that are currently eligible for benefits from the Veterans Administration. But most of these veterans are under the impression that they're only entitled to aid and attendance benefits if they were, you know, wounded or disabled while serving, sort of a service-connected mm-hmm. benefit. And also, another misconception is that veterans do not know about that we run into it a lot is that there's actually benefits in place for wartime veterans and their spouses. So even after their spouse, the veteran's death. So basically, this benefit exists to help families with their long-term care costs. This can include home health care, various assisted living facility costs, nursing home expenses, mm-hmm. All stuff that you're very familiar with, Tony. So
yeah.
Basically what this benefit is, it's called the Veterans Aid and Attendance Benefit. It's basically a special monthly pension that's available for the veteran or their surviving spouses, or even if the spouse is still living. An eligible veteran can receive more than, the number's about $23,000 annually for assistance with medical expenses and long-term care. A veteran's widow spouse can receive more than about $12,500 a year. And these benefits are also tax-free. And basically, they're covered. They're available to eligible spouses or veterans who need assistance with daily living tasks like bathing, cooking, eating, dressing, tasks like that. So it's a great benefit to have.
It sounds great, especially the spousal benefit. And then you're right, a lot of people, they refer to veterans benefits, but they don't really realize that that applies to the spouse as well. And that can really help a spouse if a veteran has passed on. Help that spouse, stay. It could be the difference between them going to the nursing home and staying at home or in their assisted living where they live. So, can you tell me a little bit, Brandon, about the eligibility requirements? And there's a lot of misconception there, and I think a lot of people don't apply because they just don't really realize that they're eligible.
Right. There is an asset test. I will get into that very soon, but I'll first go over the first five requirements that are required to get the aid and attendance, because you don't have to worry about the asset test if you don't even qualify in the first place. Also, I should have broken it down by month. That makes it more sense, makes it more real for people. But as you said, Tony, if you're in assisted living or need some home health care, it's a great. So $23,000, that the actual number per month for a spouse, that the maximum they can receive is $2,085 per month. So you know as well as I do, that's a lot of extra cash coming in tax-free to pay for some home health care or for an assisted living. So
yeah,
but the five requirements.
If someone wants to hire just to make it even more real for people, as you said, if someone wants to hire a private duty company to come in and provide care, $2,000 pays for about 100 hours of care a month. So it's pretty significant.
Exactly. So the five requirements to qualify in the first place for the VA benefit. Number one, 90 days active duty. So you had to serve, the veteran had to serve 90 days active duty. They do not have to be consecutive days. Keep in mind, though, that by active duty, it doesn't require that the veteran, you know, had his boots on the ground or was in theater. The veteran just needs to be active duty, even if they were pushing paper in Michigan during the Korean conflict or Vietnam.
Okay.
So that's a big misconception. A lot of people think, well, I didn't fight in Korea. I was stationed, you know, in Michigan, but that still counts. As long as you were active duty for 90 days during a, then that counts. I sort of dipped into the second requirement, which is a 1 day during a period of conflict. So 90 days, 90 days in active duty, not reserves, and 1 day during a period of conflict. So like I said, the Korean conflict or the Vietnam War, World War II, these are all examples of, you know, conflicts that we've gone through as a country. So as long as you were in during 1 day during that period of active duty, even if it was back home, not in theater, that counts. The third, you had to be honorably discharged. So that's pretty self-explanatory. All we need is your DD-214 or your separation papers. So that's the third requirement.
Okay.
The fourth requirement is long-term care costs. This is where we're getting into the meat and potatoes. So this is what the benefit's for. It's for helping veterans with their long-term care costs as they age or even when they're younger. But the veteran or surviving spouse will need to have an ongoing, reoccurring long-term care cost. What I mean by that is, an example is, the veteran or surviving spouse that's paying for home care or assisted, I'm sorry, are they paying for their home care, assisted living, and nursing home costs? And if so, that veteran or surviving spouse could qualify for that VA benefit. So they have to be paying for some kind of long-term care cost. And that can be having a caregiver come into their house. That could be a family member taking care of them. It could be an assisted living situation or a nursing home situation, but some kind of cost. I know you run into that a lot, Tony. People think, well, I'm not receiving medical care at this time, so that doesn't count. But that's a big misconception. You could have somebody coming over helping you with your meals. You could have someone coming over. I'm sure you could come up with some more examples that you see in the field every day. But
yeah, for sure. And it's it's a really important benefit. And like you said, a lot of folks don't realize those eligibility requirements. So thank you for going through those for us.
There's another one.
Question here, because it's. Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I should have mentioned there's another one. And the last one, of course, is then there's the asset test. So basically, the income test. Each month, the fifth requirement is that besides your Social Security or your pension, whatever you're receiving, say that's what we see a lot, and that's a retired person's receiving either a pension or Social Security or combination of both, your long-term care costs have to outweigh your income. Basically, you have to be in the red every month because of your long-term care costs. So that's the that's the income test, right? You have to actually have some costs that are costing you more than your income. And then So that's pretty typical, because having assisted living is usually more expensive than somebody's income. And having someone come to your house every day can be usually more expensive than somebody's income. So
sure.
That's the fifth.
Yeah.
So just to recap them really quick, because I know they're hard. So 90 days active duty is number one. Number two is 1 day during a period of conflict. Number three, cannot be dishonorably discharged. Four, you got to have long-term care costs. And five, those long-term care costs have to outweigh your income. So that's the
okay.
five requirements to qualify for the VA benefit in Michigan.
Okay. I, as an elder care coordinator, Brandon, I run into folks that, you know, they might be looking for to help their mom and dad and help their mom and dad take care. And they know that their dad's a veteran, but they have no idea whether he qualifies or not. And they can't find the paperwork or, you know, their dad didn't really talk about his wartime service, so they don't know when exactly he was in. Those types of things come up often because, you know, as you know, the customer is often my customer is often usually the kid. My client is the parent. So, is there a way you guys can help folks who are, you know, maybe can't find some of the things? Is there a way to look it up? Can somebody help somebody do that?
You mean find out the qualifications, or you mean find 8242?
You could
give a shameless plug.
My daughter can't
find
paperwork or something.
Oh, the best place to go for any of your stuff would be to your local VA office, and usually to ask if they have your information. Most of the stuff is pretty much online now, at least in the database at the VA. You should be able to get your DD-214. There are a small group of people that we run into sometimes that their records were lost in the late 70s, I believe, or 80s. And if they're in that small group of people, then it's a longer process. Usually you can get help from a local VA office, or I know the Detroit Mercy Law School does that for free. They help veterans find their paperwork and things like that. Typically, you wouldn't need an attorney to help you do that, but it can be a daunting task to gather a lot of paperwork. I actually had a client I met with today that had his DD-214 paper in his wallet, and he's 86 years old, so it was laminated, which was pretty cool. He carried it with him all the time, but you don't really see that often. But also, you can go to MichiganEstatePlanning.com, and that's our website, the Elder Care Firm's website, and we have lots of good information on veterans' benefits. So typically when it comes to using a VA benefit attorney is when there's an asset issue. So I didn't get into the asset issue, but where a lot of people get turned down and give up on veterans' benefits is they're told by a hospital, by an assisted care company or something like that. Obviously not you, Tony, because you're knowledgeable about it, but that's why it's good to have an elder care advocate. Our care coordinator, like yourself, but is they get turned down because they find out that they have too many assets. So there is an asset test for the VA aid in attendance. For a single person, it's $30,000 total assets. That's not that much. And then for a married couple, it's $60,000, right? So that's not much. And usually somebody that is in their 60s, 70s, or 80s has accumulated more assets than that. If not, then no problem. Just have to fill out the app. But a lot of people have a problem filling out the app, too, because the app is extremely complicated and sometimes takes a lawyer to help you with your app. But application, I'm sorry. But where we come in a lot is we do what's called veterans benefits planning, right? We could help you take, say, you have $100,000 single in assets. What we're able to do is take the $70,000 of your assets, put it into what we call a VA asset protection trust, and shield those assets and to use it as a pot of resources for yourself for care and also to pass down to, you know, the next generation. So that's a way that we can help a veteran get qualified or a spouse get qualified for the VA benefit. That's a little known fact that you can actually see a veteran's a VA accredited attorney and have one of us do that for you. So that's a pretty good benefit to have. You can get instead of spending down your money, you get to keep it in a trust and get qualified for the benefit you earned.
Yeah, that's definitely an important service to have, especially since folks, like you said, they just kind of give up on the process and it can be complicated. And it's nice to know that someone can help them with that and even help kind of preserve some of the legacy that they've worked so hard to build up over the years.
Well,
Brandon, I just want go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, you're right about the legacy, Tony. You are absolutely right. We love to use the word legacy. But also, keep in mind, and you know as well as I do, when you make this trust, it's a pot of resources for the person. So, you know, if they need more stuff, it's not like the money's gone forever and, you know, sent down to the next generation. It's still essentially theirs,
right.
And they can access it for, you know, living the best quality of life they have while they're alive now. But I'd rather have a veteran who's receiving aid in attendance be able to access their own money to pay for things they need rather than spending it all down. And also, if you keep it in the trust, because I know a lot of people say, well, can't you just put it in someone else's name? Well, of course you could take your money and put it else in someone's name in the situation, but do you really want to do that? Do you really want to put your money unprotected and just sort of give it to somebody else? Because we see way too many times that turns into a bad situation because the money's not protected. So that person, say you gave it to a son, that person is going through a creditor, bankruptcy, divorce, that money could go really fast. Or worst case scenario, that person, you know, starts using some of that money to pay some of their bills because they're having some rough times, and
yeah.
That's what we don't want to happen.
Yeah, whatever we can
so
do
you put
for
it,
our,
you put
our
in the
veterans,
trust,
especially
it's
those. Yeah, whatever we can do for our veterans, especially those who served in World War II and the Korean War and the Vietnam conflict, I mean, it's great
sure.
to have someone sticking up for those folks so they're not taken advantage of, so at least they have a great quality of life moving forward. So, people are always talking about, whenever you talk about a federal government benefit, there's always the threat of rules changing, legislator cutting things, things of that nature. I've heard that there are some changes coming to the VA application process this year, possibly, although there's no solid date, last I checked anyway. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about some of the changes, proposed changes that are coming up to the VA aid and attendance benefit this year, and what folks can do to kind of get in ahead of that?
Right. So you're exactly right, Tony. There are some changes that are coming down the pike. We don't know exactly when the changes are going to be implemented. But so right now, one of the great things about the VA benefit is that there's no what's called a look-back period, right? So a look-back period is basically, for example, for state Medicaid in Michigan, if you're going to be qualified for state Medicaid to pay for your base level of care in a nursing home, right, they're going to say you have to be under a certain asset limit, $2,000 for a single individual, $119,000 for a married couple if there's one community spouse. Now, the state of Michigan is going to ask you in that situation, in the last 5 years, because there's a five-year look back, have you gifted any money? Have you given away any money less than fair market value? They're basically going to see if you've impoverished yourself on purpose or not on purpose, giving gifts out, to basically get down to that asset level. That's what's called a look-back period. And if you have, within those 5 years, they're going to penalize you with what's called a divestment penalty. For the VA, there is no look-back period right now, which is awesome because I'm a huge, as an elder law attorney and a VA-accredited attorney, I strongly believe that there should not be any look-back period because veteran benefits are earned and they're very needed. And what happened is that non-VA-accredited attorneys, actually non-attorneys, because if an attorney is going to do anything in the VA, they have to be accredited. But a lot of non-attorney people, like annuity salesmen, people like that, they're called, what the Congress has called them, is pension poachers. They sell really bad annuities to elderly people that don't really make financial sense to get qualified for the benefit, right? Say they had $800,000 in the bank, and then they wrap, $770,000 into some 20-year annuity. That makes absolutely no financial sense, and just to get the $2,000 a month, right? That's a terrible situation.
Right.
We shouldn't be doing things like that. As an attorney, of course, we can put it in a trust, and that's how we can save the money, and not in an annuity. But that's neither here nor there. So because of that kind of stuff happening, Congress basically got upset and said, we need to get rid of these pension poachers. That's what they call them, basically gaming the system. And so Congress tried to push through a look-back period. Well, it failed because, Tony, you know a lot about politics. Whenever you try to put any bill through that's going to cut any kind of veterans' benefits, it's usually not going to make it, okay? Veterans, for better or for worse, have pretty strong lobby groups, which is a good thing. So the government does what the government always does. I'm not trying to be pessimistic, but well, there's a will, there's a way. So they went through the administrative side and to do new regulations, so how regulations are interpreted. So about a year ago, the VA set out some new regulations installing a three-year look back. Over 900 elder law attorneys nationwide put up a fight about it. NALA and the National Academy of Elder Law Attorneys put up a big, strong fight. But unfortunately, didn't win. So there is a look back coming down the pike. We just don't know exactly when it's going to be fully implemented. I know they're still working on the regulations right now, and we're not sure when the ink's going to dry on the paper. But as of right now, there's still no look back period. It could be as soon as springtime. Some people are saying April. Some people are saying July and summer. So it's a really unfortunate thing.
Okay.
So I guess one thing to prepare right now would be to apply now if you're eligible. And but in the future, we would have to do some other kind of planning. We can get into on another show, but where we could put our assets aside and maybe start a three-year waiting clock. But for now, let's get those applications in if you're eligible and get the benefits you earned.
Yeah, I mean, if the application's in process, well, first of all, quick question, how long does it take for an application to get processed?
The classic lawyer answer, I'm sorry, is it depends. But when you're dealing with the VA, you just don't know. It really, frankly, depends on the caseworker. Each application is processed by a caseworker. And if they're a really efficient government VA employee and they're really on the ball, then, you know, you can get one through as fast as a month to 90 days. Sometimes they drag out for months, 6 months. So it just really depends on what they ask
probably
for.
Probably more on the 6 month. If you're asking the government to be, diligent and on top of it, probably looking more for a 6 month process. So
it typically takes about a half, 3 months, or so 3 to 4 months.
Okay. So if the application's in processing, does that count as getting it in before the changes start?
Yeah, I can't guarantee it, but I would say 99.9% of laws that are legislative is passed or that regulations that are changed to avoid all the huge uproar and protests against it, they usually grandfather laws in. So there's no retroactivity as far as they're going to pull back applications and things like that. It's extremely rare. You usually only see that in, like, criminal law, criminal situations, like when they make a change and they let people out of jail or something like that. But in this situation, no. I'm willing to say no. So I would say, well, not no.
Thanks,
I mean, Brandon, if you get an application in, it's most likely going to be grandfathered in. So.
And your firm is the elder care firm, and that's a pretty reputable firm here in Michigan, one of the best here in Southeast Michigan. But becoming a lawyer it has an interesting story behind it. Could you spend a couple minutes sharing that story with our listeners?
Okay, yeah, sure. Specifically why I got into elder law is originally, I'll keep it short and sweet, originally I was a teacher, lost that job after my undergrad, and because of layoffs. And then I had a pregnant wife at the time, and I needed a job. So I went and worked for Schwann's, which is the frozen food delivery man sort of thing, you know, the big yellow truck.
Yeah, I know.
So
they got good stuff there, good ice cream.
Yeah, so I did that for a few years, and during that time, I would say about 70% of my clients were elderly, are seasoned citizens, and a lot of them were widowed. So I became best friends with lots of them. So sometimes, sad but true, situations, I might be the only person that visited them. So every 2 weeks, if I was 2 minutes off my route time, they're calling my cell phone asking where I'm at. But I got to drink a lot of coffee and eat a lot of really delicious baked goods and talk to some of our most valuable citizens. And what I realized quickly, though, is how trusting they really were. And I was filling out checks and filling in freezers if they weren't there. So, and of course, you know, my parents raised me right, so I'm not going to take advantage of a senior citizen. But it really opened my eyes of how much I love working with seniors, but also how vulnerable they are and how much help they need in situations. The predators out there that you deal with, Tony, people trying to rip off our seniors, and also just navigating through the maze of the legal part, and also just the healthcare part. So anyway, long story short, I always wanted to go to law school. So when I went, I focused my area on elder law and estate planning. So that's where my love for working with elders started. And so, yeah, it's a funny story. Schwann's is a great company, but that's how I got. And also, when you go door-to-door to sell frozen food, it sort of gives you some thick skin for court and things like that, because get told no a lot. So.
Yeah, I've often recommended to anybody asking advice of me on how to hone in your skills. You know, door-to-door is something. It's definitely something you have to experience that in telemarketing, because if you can be successful in those two avenues, you can really talk to pretty much anybody. So, but that aside,
is this the inaugural show?
I did a little mini show last week, talked a little bit about me and you. Yeah, but now this is the full length original show here. Yeah.
I was going to say, are you going to tell your story about how you got into? Because you're pretty awesome at what you do. So I was wondering if you're going to
get into why you're
so passionate about.
Yeah, I can do that. It's the folks may or may not know. I'm an elder care advocate or an elder care coordinator, and one of the things I do is I help folks navigate the senior healthcare system, help their families as well, provide, get some of the great services that they want for their mom and dad, to look out for their mom and dad they are out of town or things of that nature. And one of the things I do is I help, coordinate services, help them find services, do on-site assessments, and, making sure folks are safe and making sure that they're able to age in place where they want to live instead of kind of being forced into a decision based on the healthcare system. And I came into this job, Brandon, because of, I was working in the nursing homes and worked in home care. I actually started kind of the front line. I started as a kitchen porter, and at a nursing home, I worked my way all the way up as a director of operations for a home care company. So I've experienced every level of the senior health care continuum, and I use that unique knowledge to help folks navigate that. And I do that because I want to, same thing, our seniors are very vulnerable, and they've done so much for our countries and our communities in helping build them, that they need someone to look out for them sometimes. Sometimes it's no fault of their own, like you said, that you're the only one visiting them and talking to them. When you get old, sometimes you outlive some of the people that, are in your life that you care for. That's a fact of life. And if I can help folks and advocate for folks and make sure that they get great services, make sure that they're taken care of, then I think I'm doing a little bit of part in that, not only just for my profession, but also for society. So as you know, Brandon, we've talked about this a couple times before off the air that, we really mistreat our seniors in this country, and we need more people to really kind of stand up and not just stand up and speak for our seniors, but actually get our hands dirty and do some of the work that needs to be done to keep them safe. And to keep them aging in place with dignity and where they want to live.
Definitely.
So, we just have a couple minutes left in the show, so I want to thank everyone for listening. You can tune in live to our show at 9 p.m. on Tuesday evening, and I'd like to keep it really kind of brief and to the point. I don't like to meander much, because I really want this to be an audio resource for folks. And Brandon, you are a great guest. You helped really kind of nail those points down from point A to point B. And I really thank you for helping folks understand VA benefits. Brandon will be on again. He's going to be a regular legal expert for the show here and co-host. So we'll have him back another time. Next week, we have Tammy Newman. Tammy Newman has started a company called Silver Dawn Senior Friendly Cities, and they really have an interesting mission in helping businesses and communities become more senior friendly, and helping municipalities and design services that are senior appropriate, that provide more access to seniors and businesses to work better with seniors so they can enjoy some of the great services and products that are available in their community. So we'll have her on next week to talk about that. And then the week after that, we'll have Matt Gerwell, who is a former Ohio State trooper, and he has started a company called KeepingUsSafe.org, and he talks about how to transition somebody from the behind the driver's seat into the passenger seat, and when it's time to give up the keys, and some different ways to approach that question. So it's a really valuable information as well. So I hope you tune in the next 2 weeks on Tuesday at 9. If you have any questions for us, you can get on our Facebook page, Elder Advocacy Group on Facebook, and I left a link right on the description page if you're listening to us online, and you can click on us there and like the page, and you'll get all the different show updates and show information and information about our guests, and also information about Elder Advocacy Group and the services we provide as well. So again, thank you very much for tuning in to Elder Advocate Radio, and take care of yourselves.